The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we are talking about perspective, mindset. You know, it's so funny because I'll often talk to my radio producer and I say, what should my show be about this week? Because that's if I don't have a show ready, which isn't all the time, but sometimes it's just like, what are we going to talk about today, right? Like, what do we get to talk about? What do we get to educate people on? And he'll say mindset or perspective or, you know, and I'm like, meh. It's like, why do you always shoot down those shows? And I tell him because it's the least well-received. The people with the junky mindsets don't want to listen to my You Have a Junky Mindset show, right? Because I feel like there's just so much about health and wellness and nutrition. And, you know, we're talking about cinnamon. But it's part of our five essentials. Like when you look at what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, we look at maximized nerve supply. Like we're obviously chiropractors. We look at nutrition. We look at detoxification. We look at oxygen and lean muscle, moving your body. But then we also look at max mind, right? Like that mindset. And there is such an aspect, I feel like if 2020 taught us anything, that the power of the mind, before I used to be like, hey, can your mind change the physiology of your body? And everyone would be like, no. It can't. There's no way it happens. And I would say, well, what if I would lock the door? What if I locked the door and I set fire and you couldn't get out? What would happen? You know, and they'd say, well, your blood pressure would go up and your heart would race and your palms would sweat and, right, like all of these different systems. Why? Because your brain interprets that fear, right? So it has that. So 100%. And then we all lived through 2020 and you're like, oh gosh, like all of the stress and fear and isolation and all of those things. But I think there's such an aspect to say about your perspective on life. And I really want to talk about just kind of comfort crisis and just pain and suffering and just like, and not in a bad way, but from a perspective way. Because really when you look at how, you know, pain is something that physically happens to you, where suffering is your interpretation of that pain. And I have some stories and just some interesting things and then just that aspect. But of course, before we dive down deep into all of that, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's health news.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health news now. One of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's health in the news, high levels of lead found in cinnamon and spice blends from 12 different brands. I thought this was kind of interesting. And by interesting, it's sad. I literally just texted my mom and said, I said, send me a picture of your cinnamon. And she said, very random request. Why? I guess I didn't really think about it that way, that people don't randomly just say, send me a picture of your cinnamon. But I know she's at home. So it talks about high levels of lead were found in 12 brands of cinnamon powder and multi-spice powder. So think pumpkin spice, which has cinnamon in it. According to testing released Thursday by Consumer Reports, a nonprofit that helps consumers evaluate goods and services. Cinnamon powder, I'm going to name a bunch. So this is a really great one. If you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in my car and I don't know what type of cinnamon I have. You can either catch this on a podcast, right? So on the podcast, like if you have an Apple, Android phones, I'm sorry, I don't understand how they work as much, but you can always go to freedom95.us under their podcast link. You can check this out if you want to revisit, or I'm sure you can always just stop online too, but re-listening to podcasts are always a great thing. So cinnamon powders sold by Paras, P-A-R-A-S, contain the highest levels of lead, 3.5 parts per million. The next highest was EGN. You have Mimi's Project, ShopRite. And I feel like most of these are not really going to, like, if you asked me what was my source, I would know only because it's an organic source. And I was really particular about the type of cinnamon I got as well, because I'm kind of a nerd like that. But Randy Brand, Zara Foods, Three Rivers, Cinnamon Stick Powder, Yuyi, Y-U-Y-E-E. That's you. I would say Yuyi. Five Spice Powder. King Spice 5 Powder, Deep Cinnamon Powder. So there's a list of all of these parts per million. Para and EGN told Consumer Reports they would stop sales and tell stores to remove all the affected cinnamon products from store shelves. They actually did reach out to all 12 brands. Only two of them actually replied. Oh, here we go. Mimi's Products, well, maybe three. Mimi's Products told them it relies on analytical reports provided by its vendors, which indicates that, quote, no lead levels exceeding one part per million were found in ground cinnamon. The quality of its products is the utmost important, and our cinnamon meets all of the safety standards, right? So it's like the basic PR response when they're like, nope, we found all this lead. There is no level of lead that is safe. So at all. So the Codex Alimentarius, which is an international council created by the World Health Organization and the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, is, quote, considering adopting a maximum lead of 2.5 parts per million for lead in barked spices, including cinnamon, in 2024. However, levels above one part per million of lead triggered a recall in New York, the only state that regulates heavy metals and spices. This should be wild, right? We're like, hi, out of everyone in the United States, there's only one state that actually regulates heavy metals in spices. Only one. According to the US EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, there is no, zero, none level. So, of course, it's kind of like, you know, there's got to be a certain amount of rat droppings and spider legs that you can have in a product, you know, so like what they allow and what is actually safe are not two of the same things. So lead bioaccumulation in the body over time, and it's a toxic metal that can be very harmful at very low levels. There's a woman on social media whose son had a lead exposure and has had disabilities and long-term health effects. And so she's done a lot. This is done through Consumer Reports, though. You think, how interesting. Like, we've all these government agencies in place to be able to protect us from something like lead poisoning from our cinnamon powder. And yet, Consumer Reports, a non-for-profit, is the one who's finding all of this. The other thing that I thought was really interesting is when I text my mom, she didn't actually text me the name of her cinnamon, but she said, but it's organic. And I'm like, I understand, but that's not how lead works. So they went in, there were some brands that tested lower, right? Six cinnamon products tested at lower levels. These ones included. So they still had lead. They just had less lead. the ground cinnamon and organic ground cinnamon by 365 Whole Foods Market. That only contains 0.12 and 0.02 parts per million of lead, respectively. So the organic one did have less. Morton and Bassett, San Francisco, 100% organic ground cinnamon. Losia organic cinnamon. Gosh, I don't really say these names very much, huh? Sadaf, S-A-D-A-F, cinnamon tested at 0.04. But I do feel like, you know, when we're talking about, and they talk about this, like no one's minding the store. So in the fall of 2023, extremely high levels of lead were found in children's applesauce pouches flavored with cinnamon, right? So we know where that was coming from. It's coming from the cinnamon. It was imported from Ecuador. It was sold by Wanabana, Schnucks, and Weiss brands. The concentrate of lead were thousands of times higher than those found in the testing of spices. They were 2,300 parts per million up to 5,000 parts per million. That is crazy. Because if you have little kids, you know they love applesauce pouches. And you know as a mom, right? Like sometimes it's just the convenience factor. And to know like that could be what your child, and these are little ones too who probably don't have teeth. So their bodies are so much smaller. So those parts per million in those tiny bodies are absurdly high. Now, since then, the FDA has been issuing consumer health alerts on high levels of lead in different cinnamon products. So the latest was published August of 2024, listed 10 different cinnamon products with lead as high as 3.93 parts per million, right? So again, they're saying beware of this 3.9 parts per million versus this 5,000 parts per million. Are you ready for this? While most of the manufacturers did voluntarily recall their products from store shelves, the FDA has no authority to require manufacturers to do so. None. The FDA does not have mandatory recall authority, so they depend on the company to do the right thing, which they do not always do. There are no regulatory limits for lead in cinnamon, so there's nothing to enforce that forces a recall. All they can do is provide public health alerts, right? So no one is checking. Literally no one is checking to make sure how much heavy metal Americans are exposed to when they eat common foods, including cinnamon. And the FDA has been silent about what level of lead is acceptable in cinnamon. And so everyone's just left with these companies choosing the level of exposure that they have in their product, right? Oh, maybe it's only 2,000. Maybe it's only 5,000. Obviously, the FDA said, hey, we recommend people stop using and dispose of the specific ground cinnamon products once a public health alert has been released. We'll still sell it to you, but just throw it away. So it's just one of those aspects when you're like, we think that the government and everything is just designed to protect us, when in reality, that is not necessarily always the case. So when we come back, a little bit more of a deeper dive to talk about some perspective.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. That's GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we're talking about the mindset piece of things. You know, it's very interesting. Years ago, I read a research study, And it's one that I need to do a deep dive and actually look through it again. But the research study was looking at women who got diagnosed with breast cancer. It was a European study. And they looked at, after this breast cancer, what they thought that their long-term outcome or longevity would be, and their viewpoint on it. And so if a woman had a bleak outlook on overall life following diagnosis, like 85% of them passed within 5 years. And then on the other hand, they looked at individuals who had a really positive thought process about the outcome of their cancer, their breast cancer diagnosis. And like 85% of them survived, were surviving after 5 years, right? And that doesn't add up to 100. So I like really, I just remember having to like read this study over and over and over again. And it was just that aspect of when you talk about the power of your mind, the power of your mind, it's so interesting, right? Because we think about it oftentimes in the period of death, not of restoring and giving life. I'll never forget. It was like my first or second year in practice. I had a friend that I had made because, you know, I have friends here now. Just gonna say I don't have any friends here. When I moved here, I didn't know anyone. Like, it was just me and the practice. So I had made friends throughout the year. So it was like a newer friend. And I was doing a cancer killer workshop. And she said, I have this friend. I believe he was on Accutane. And so we know that Accutane causes cancer, right? And he had like a bowel or rectal cancer. And she was like, I want him to come so bad. And I was like, deal. Like, let's figure out how to get him here, right? Like, we don't treat or cure cancer, but there is very scientific backing to like what makes cancer thrive, what cancer doesn't like. Those are things that we do know, right? So just having that information can be actionable steps on the course of care that he was currently in. And I was talking to his wife and she's like, he's not ready. They had a young child, couple years old. She was pregnant. And so they're like, they're going to induce me early. And then baby was only a couple weeks old. And the father, husband went in for a follow-up and they're like, it's everywhere. We can't do anything. You maybe have a couple weeks left to live. And he was like doing and feeling so well. And he got that news and his brain like turned. It took a shift and he passed away like 3 days later. It was the most thing because when it's like, when you're going for a routine checkup and someone tells you that and that mindset shifts, like the body is wonderful and wild and crazy and amazing and terrifying and all of the things. The human body is just, gosh, God has just made us amazingly, right? But when you look at these things and you're like, well, what changed? What changed? Or here's the power of the mind, right? Let's talk about this. Have you known someone who's had a big event, right? It might be a 90th birthday. It might be that great grandpa George really wanted to be able to see Susie walk across the aisle and then they have it and then they pass away shortly after, right? Like their brain keeps their body alive. And when their brain has then, you know, but then we look at something like just our attitude on daily life. We look at our thought processes on how things happen, how we look at perceived life. People always say, how are you? We'll say, God has blessed me with my health. My feet hits the floor. I've been blessed with another day. That means it's a good day. It's a good day. Living like it's the only Saturday or Sunday I see all week. You know, like, it's just that, like, how, when you wake up with the aspect of appreciation in your heart, like, how can those things go wrong? But now here we have all of these different people with different viewpoints and different attitudes on life. My husband more recently went to a reunion, Marine reunion, 20-year, from one of his deployments in Iraq, in Ramadi, right? So like 20 years ago in Ramadi was not a great time. Not that any deployments really are, but when you want to talk about active and terrifying combat, and he was just showing me pictures of all the guys, and they were like, they wanted to climb up this mountain, and they did. So there's like a handful of them, and I was like, tell me about who they are, right? Like what they're doing now, like tell me about their families. And you know, and he's like, and this guy right here, you can't see it, but you notice he's the only guy with pants on? And I said, yeah, I did notice that. And he said, yeah, because he only has one leg. And I was like, what? And he's like, well, he has two, but one's prosthetic. So yeah. And I'm like, and he just climbed up the mountain like everybody else. He's like, yep, didn't miss a beat. And I said, how amazing is that? Like, how absolutely amazing. And so, and he was like, yeah, you would never know. He's got, even when they deployed, he had a son, and his wife was pregnant with their daughter. So, you know, 20 years, like, he's like, they're not little kids anymore, but he's like his kids, and he brought them with, and I got to see them and all the things. And it was so cool just to see the love and appreciation that like, hey, feet have hit the floor. God's blessed me with another day and all of those things. And so I've really been kind of looking into this like mindset and brain aspect and our perspective on life. And what's so interesting is that, you know, pain and suffering, this was actually like done from an oncology nurse. It was a study. It was published in 2019 by Seminars of Oncology Nursing, published in June of 2019. But they looked at, and I think this is so interesting of a study, they actually looked at pain, spirituality, and suffering as it relates to patient with cancer who's experiencing pain. So, because we kind of use pain and suffering very interchangeably, right? Like, oh yeah, pain and suffering. Oh yeah, pain and suffering. But then I kind of had to do a deeper dive down into like, it's not the same thing. We use them interchangeably. Just how we use, it's going to make someone mad, but how we use like vaccines and immunizations. Just because you're vaccinated doesn't mean you're immune. That's why people get it, right? You're vaccinated. You're not immune to it. We use those interchangeably. They are very different things. But anyways, I digress. So when we look at pain, pain is a physical sensation or signal indicating an event within the body. Suffering is an interpretation of that event. So that involves thoughts, beliefs, and judgments. It's very different, right? When you talk about pain and suffering, pain is the physical sensation, where suffering is the interpretation of that event, which is why you can have two people go through the very same scenario, the very same situation, and their interpretation, their suffering from that is very different. It's an example, maybe not a great one, but if you have someone who, well, I'll give you the example that I very much have. I know some people. One of them is a friend. Another one is not a friend, but I know of both of them, unfortunately, have lost children. So the friend in which I have lost a child 6 months, the following some events, SIDS. Another one lost his child a little bit older, regardless. My one friend who lost her baby leaned into God, strengthened her faith, like is now in a mission, is talking about how her baby passed and setting up funds and education and all of these different aspects, right? Like she is focused on God. And the other one turned to drugs, like very heavy drugs, is not in a good spot, really demolishing everything in his path of career and family and like two very painful situations and the interpretation of those events. and the thoughts and belief behind those, the outcome is very different. And so I think about one that is so hard, right? If you have not gone, and that's one where pain is inevitable. Pain is going to happen to everyone. But if you have to think, if that pain is bigger, like that pain that you have or have gone through, like it's never bigger than you. It's never bigger than the God you serve, whatever your faith belief are very clear. Like you guys know that I'm Christian, but I can promise you what you're going through is never bigger than that. You know, there's all of these big, heavy life things in this interpretation. And so when we return, I want to dive down a little bit deeper into this very interesting research study and give some actionable steps on what to do forward next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com.
Mindset is such a powerful tool. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Today, we're talking about pain versus suffering. We're talking about mindset. We're talking about perspective. It is truly the max mind aspect of what we do in the office. And so one of the things I had referenced earlier was a research article published in Seminars of Oncology Nursing, published in 2019 on pain and suffering. Now, again, we use pain and suffering often synonymously, though that being said, they are very different things. We use them interchangeably, though pain is actually a physical sensation or like an event that's happening with the body. Suffering is the interpretation of that event, right? And that involves thoughts, beliefs, and judgments. So that pain can cause suffering when it is uncontrolled, right? And so what this research article talked about that I was very interested in, because when I clicked on it, it was pain and suffering. It's literally the name of it. And I was like, oh, I'm talking a lot about pain and suffering. But it actually incorporates spirituality in this too, which again, from a more medical-based standpoint, I thought was really interesting. So they talk about the importance of spirituality for cancer patients. They said the importance of spirituality for cancer patients cannot be overstated. This was published by Alcorn and later expanded by Balboni and colleagues, where most patients reported spirituality or religion as an important to their cancer experience. They all had likely similar, right? Every cancer is different. Every pain is going to be different, but similar. They all had that similar pain of, albeit cancer or that treatment and what that looked like. But there were five themes that emerged from these interviews. Number one was coping, their ability to endure. They looked at spiritual practices. Praying or prayers for strength are most prevalent. Three is the belief in terms of personal belief. Four is transformation, changes in spiritual or religious beliefs related to the cancer experience. And five is community, spiritual support. So they actually looked, this research article looked at 727 patients with differing ethnicities, language, and religions. And they looked at four outpatient settings. And most patients reported at least one spiritual need. And so what they found is that the more need and fullness they had from these spiritual needs, the better the overall response to the outcome was. So not necessarily health response, but they said needing help in finding hope, prayer, and meditation, meaning in the illness experience and relationship with God or other were more frequently cited needs. Like that is what their inevitable needs were. They looked at like meaning in the disease experience, connecting to God, religious and spiritual practices, physical well-being, physiologically in terms of well-being, socially, spiritually. And what they found overall was that those spiritual needs are known to impact their quality of life study and cause suffering. And so the ones that were more connected spiritually actually had a better, and the QOL is quality of life assessment. So it actually, that's like a reproducible one versus like a, how you doing, Mary? And you're like, pretty good. And you're like, well, you were really good last time, right? So not like that. Like this is an actual objective finding to quality of life. And what they're finding is when there was unmet spiritual needs, right? So they didn't have some of those categories beforehand. What they found was that their quality of life was greatly impacted negatively and caused suffering. So again, we say pain and suffering, but it's not. Like when we talk about suffering, suffering is that interpretation. And so when you come out on the other side and you've changed your viewpoint of that experience, right? That's just like the one I was talking about, one of my husband's friends who had lost his leg in Iraq, and he went back and saw him and he was like, he's just living life and you would never know because he went through that physical excruciating pain. But you know, he has his family and he has his faith, like he has chose not to suffer. And I think that's just such an interesting thing. And when we look at more of inevitably what our goal is for the office is that it's not my job to reduce pain, right? I mean, physical pain, like, oh my gosh, I threw my back out, right? Like we're talking bigger picture than that. What we're talking about is that, you know, people always ask me what my passion, what my mission is. And, you know, obviously at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, we help headaches, neck pain, and back pain. But when you look, if someone asks me what my purpose in life is, it's not to be that glorified Advil, right? Headaches, neck pain, and back pain. But my goal is, one, to help restore quality of life so that there isn't suffering. But then I think the other aspect too of what my purpose is that there are so many things that as a society, we either have turned a blind eye to or we've not been educated on, right? So let me help you understand what that means is that we have been taught that health only comes in a pill, potion, or lotion. We have never been taught that health is something that you have. We've never been taught that health is something that you can restore. We've never been taught that. We have always been presented with, if you have this disease process, here are your courses of care. And there's nothing else. And so when we give patients the education and opportunity to learn things, that health doesn't come in a pill, that you can reverse disease processes on your own. Now, reminder, asterisk, we don't treat disease. But when you're given that opportunity and education on how to take those action steps and people start to restore their health and serve the purpose that they were put here for, that is one where you're like, yes, you might still have that pain, but you don't suffer through it, right? Because you're making those actionable steps. Here's a really great example. I could tell you what he was wearing on that day. I could tell you the day that I adjusted him of the week, probably not like the calendar day. The day of the week that I adjusted him. I could tell you the time in which I adjusted him. I could tell you the weather that it was. I could tell you what bay I adjusted him. Because I remember thinking, this is my purpose. This is why we do what we do. And he had come in. He is in his mid-70s. Right. We'll call him Steve because we protect HIPAA. You have a right to privacy. So Steve came in and Steve said, "Hey, I got to let you know something." And I said, "Shoot, what you got going on?" And he said, "You know, I've been under care for a little bit over a year now, right?" And I said, "Mm-hmm." And he said, "You know, I did something for the first time that I haven't been able to do, and not just this year, but years prior to." And I said, "Ooh, what you got?" And he said, "You see this right there?" And he took a picture on his phone. And it was a picture of his granddaughter, probably, I don't know, no more, probably like between 5 and 6 years old. And he said, "I took her to the park this weekend." And I was like, "That's awesome. Like, that's so much fun. I'm glad you were able to do that." And he goes, no, that wasn't it. He goes, "I was able to play with her the whole time. And we were there for over an hour." He said, "Most of the time, I just have to sit on the bench or I have to take breaks, but I'm never able to actually play with her." And he said, "I was able to play with her the entire time." And I said, "How did that feel?" And he goes, "My heart's never been so full." And I was like, ugh, right? There's discomfort that comes in the pain. But when you look at the big vision of what we do, his suffering was not from that pain. His suffering was because he wasn't able to serve his family. His suffering because he wasn't able to play with that granddaughter, right? And so when we look at that pain and what that suffering does, but my job is to be that bridge gap, right? Like to help with that education. If you don't have that knowledge, you can't make an educated decision. When you have that knowledge, you can make that educated decision and you get to make the decision on whether or not your thoughts, your beliefs, your interpretations of that will be suffering. Yeah, we always talk about like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And I do agree with that. But how many times are we just saying, "I'm going to tell you what to do," and I'm not actually leading you there? I'm not being a leader. I'm not educating. I'm not taking that stance. Right. So inevitably, when it comes to that aspect, when you start doing that, it's like I had someone once and he was like, "I don't know why people like your office so much." And I was like, "Well, thanks so much." Like, you know, the things that people say to me out loud are just always wildly shocking. And that was one of them, most definitely. But I was like, you know, like I have a patient. She's been a testimony on the radio. She's a testimony for the office. She was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis, degenerative disc disease. They said that she'd be in a wheelchair in the next couple years. That was 12 years ago. She's on no medication. She's in clinical remission. She's got like 9 grandkids now that she is around and loving and doing all of those things because of the education she's had in the office, because of the care she's had in the office, because of the action step that she's learned that she's implementing. She's not suffering. Her family's not suffering. Her grandkids aren't suffering. When we talk about pain and suffering, it is such a different interpretation and aspect. And so inevitably what we do is, one, it's coming to that really hard point realization that you choose whether or not you suffer. And that's a hard pill to swallow because oftentimes internal reflection isn't something that we often do on a daily basis. But when you realize that there's purpose on the other side of that pain and you take that pain and you can utilize it for something big, you can utilize it for something useful, you can utilize that for someone else who has the opportunity to make that change, right? That's where we see this big purpose that comes out of there. So it's always just like an interesting aspect when we talk about pain and suffering. Great. Yeah, just pain and suffering. And then I think too, on the other aspect, all of the things that I've maybe done begrudgingly or not wanted to do that. I mean, if you have kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like you're like, "Put your shoes on, tie your shoes." And they're like, "Oh, just tied them." And you're like suffering. You view as having to tie your shoes 2 times in 1 hour is suffering. And you're like, number one, it's not pain. Number two, it's not suffering. But their little tiny underdeveloped little lima bean brains just can't figure that out. But now here we are talking to a whole bunch of adults that you're like, it's a little thing, man. That's not worth what you're interpreting as suffering, right? Long red lights, not suffering. Someone's driving like a Dorcas, right? And cutting you off and doing all these things. That's not suffering. You might get into a car accident and then interpret that as suffering, but you made that choice, right? So like, these are the things where it's like, where in our lives do we find that we have taken something that is a mild pain point and we've turned it into suffering? And when we see that and we change that view, I do truly believe that that is where we get to move the needle. When we find purpose and what we want to do and how we do it, those aspects are one of the ultimate most important. So we have the ability and opportunity. It's just, are we taking that education and then having that self-accountability on taking those action steps to make that movement? Now, a little bit different of an aspect, right, in terms of content. Though that being said, our inevitable goal is to help you. 317-893-2853. If you have a new diagnosis, if you want someone to listen, if we want to make action steps, let's see what we can do. Again, we don't treat disease process, we treat nervous system, but we look at nutrition, detoxification, really inevitably getting down to that root cause of the problem. 317-893-2853, or just schedule an appointment online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.